Welcome to today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. Here we talk with my guests about the dreams, the visions, and the passions that individuals have every day and dare to explore them. Whether it's business or personal, you're entitled to live the life that you want, and no matter what the circumstances, you have the power to create success, fulfill your dreams, and live with passion. That's what I'm talking about. So dare greatly and happy reinventing, folks. Hi, welcome everybody. And I am so glad to have my guest Sue Fennessy on today's episode of The Power of Reinvention. This is an incredible thing. She's in London and I'm here in LA, and we met, pre-COVID at Cannes 3 years ago, and it is so exciting. We became very, very fast, wonderful friends, and Sue and I have had many a conversation, many meetings about her incredible company, We Are Eight. So welcome, Sue. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks, Kathy. It's brilliant to be here, and I just love everything that you're doing. Really inspiring.
We're having a lot of fun. There's a lot going on in our world, and I have to tell you, this topic of reinvention has been sort of a saving grace for a lot of people over the last couple of years. There's been, you know, I think people have been forced and invited to reinvent all kinds of parts of their lives like never before. So who knew when I wrote my book, Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, that this would be the guidebook for now, let alone all of these conversations we've been having on the virtual chat and now on the podcast. So I really want to share a bit of you and the inspiration that you are in all that you're doing. I'm going to give a little bit of background for our audience just so they know who you are. Sue is a... What were you going to say, Sue?
No, I was going to ask you. You just made me think, Kathy, is there a sequel to Reinvention?
Oh, my goodness.
In the works? I want to interview you.
I got to tell you, the last 2 years of what the world has been through, and of course, when I wrote this book, I did not realize that, it was not my plan to publish it the week before everybody was sent home because of the pandemic. But the conversations that have come out of it have just inspired so many incredible, deeper, richer, more meaningful ways that we need to be looking at our lives. So there could very well be a sequel on the way. But I think that's what's so fun about these podcasts and these conversations that I'm having every week with people is we're really delving into the human and the business dynamics that affect us and that show our resilience and show, you know, the possibilities in life. And, you know, you are such an incredible example of resilience and fortitude and persistence, even in just building your most recent company. But let me brag about you just for one moment to our audience. Sue is a serial tech entrepreneur who has spent the last 30 years creating disruptive businesses in the digital economy across Asia, Europe, and North America. She's the founder and CEO of We Are Eight, and she's built technology that delivers transformational results for advertisers, all while economically empowering hundreds of millions of people. I'm going to talk a lot about that today. She started her first business at age 21, selling it to Omnicom in 2000, and was highlighted by Forbes as a leading innovator in 2017. She's the founder, largest shareholder, and former CEO of the world's leading media data aggregation business, Standard Media Index, that has exclusive contracts with all global media buying agencies and is relied on by leading media and finance companies around the world. So, Sue, I could go on and on, but I want to delve into this conversation. There are so many precious nuggets in everything that you are and that we're going to talk about. So let's do this. Let's delve in. I have to ask this question, my favorite of all questions, Sue. Who was little Sue? Like at the age of like 5 and 10, you know, when you were running around in Australia, like, and I'm assuming it was in Australia that you were at that time, but I don't think I even know the answer to where you were at that age, but assuming that. Okay, great. So, Yeah, who was little Sue? And did you have any idea what you wanted to do? So many of us grow up as little girls go, I want to be a ballerina or a doctor or, you know, something. Are you where you thought you would be?
Well, do you know, I didn't ever think that far ahead. In fact, I don't think I could have even imagined, Kathy, the age of 54, right? So I think little Sue was, I grew up in suburban Melbourne in a place called North Dandenong. I don't know if you know that, but it is truly the end of the earth.
I do, because my sister actually performed in the Dandenong Music Festival and won it. So she was in the Dandenong newspaper for winning the piano concert. Wow. Yes.
Wow. I'm so impressed.
I got to say, I know
it was the end of the earth. I mean, it's a working class suburb. My dad was a doctor in that, so really a pathologist, but also an artist. So he had this incredible civic duty. It was a public hospital. He grew it was a massively growing area there. So he was growing the pathology department inside the hospital. So study of disease, diagnosis, looking at cellular structure. And he was also a landscape artist. So he had this beautiful capability to go really wide and then really deep into cellular structure. And he was the first person that got me thinking actually about the universe and how similar the universe looks to our cellular, under a microscope, our bodies and our the human body looks remarkably like the universe. So even though I lived in, and my mum was a nurse and, you know, they both worked full time, life was pretty gritty and tough, you know, growing up there, you know, but... And I couldn't wait to escape transparently. All I kept thinking about
how
was,
do I get
how
out?
The hell do I get out of here? But I had a very happy childhood. And mum and dad believed in spending all the little money that they had on education and travel. So we would stay in the most crappy places, but it was about experiencing the world and then having amazing conversations and learning. And so I'm so thankful to them for that. I still couldn't wait to get out, but they opened, I think little Sue was obsessively inquisitive, probably to the point that it drove them completely mental. I loved singing into the end of the microphone cord when my mum was trying to vacuum the floor, and just I felt really joyful about life. So I feel really grateful and fortunate for that. But, you know, I used to go to I was very worried at an early age. I tried to save a sloth from the Basel Zoo when I was 9, you know, because the cage was too small. I was an early activist. And I think that the conversations in my family were very much about big problems, little problems, how we could creatively solve things, how we help other people. I mean, mum used to do Meals on Wheels. I used to go with her and take food to the older people that couldn't get access. Dad used to do Rotary. Yeah. So it was very much a live life for other people. And so I think I think little Sue was as mental as big Sue. And as obsessive, my mum said in the end, okay, you just have to write a letter to the head of the zoo about the sloth. And I've still got the response actually on why he couldn't get it a friend and why he couldn't the cage bigger.
I love that.
But I was
love that. Well, you know what? That has definitely who you are today. There is no question. And I think, you know, that inquisitiveness, that curiosity is probably what has pulled you through so many of these monumental moments in your life, and to build and to grow and to see opportunity, which is what you've done from what I know, every step of the way in your career. So when you sort of did get back, when you did get into the big bad world and sort of like really start to figure out the direction that you were going to go in, and you were in the agency business, was there a moment in time, or was this something always brewing in the back of your mind? What led to that sort of aha moment of We Are Eight really needs to be created. And I don't want to skip over too many other major milestones in your life, but, you know, I love understanding that inflection point of an aha moment in someone's life where they act on it. And that to me is what reinvention is so much about. You know, when we understand that we're entitled and there's possibility and we have these aha moments, and some of them just quietly kind of vanish, and others people literally just, you know, completely lean into in a big way.
Yeah, I think it's all, I've always seen problems. And actually, even though I sold my first company in 97 to Omnicom, it was never an agency as such. I mean, we negotiated lots of the deals around the Sydney Olympics, but I always actually looked at the ad world from the outside. My obsession was really how to get brands and people closer together. And then when I built Standard Media Index, which actually we've recently sold, but we're still part of the new entity, but it's exciting because essentially we built data systems inside all the media agencies, and for the first time we could see all of this money go to Facebook. At the same time, we could see the implosion of local news, all these really important civic constructs. And there was a catalyst moment for me when, and by the way, the average engagement rate on a Facebook ad is under 1%. So last year we had a situation where Facebook took $100 billion in ad revenue, but the engagement rate on a digital ad is under 1%. So it's not even working the way it should, right? So we saw this as inherently broken. And then there was this catalyst moment for me when the Federal Reserve government in the US came out with a stat saying 40% of all Americans cannot find $400 in an emergency. And which, by the way, they think is now 80%, Kathy, you know. It is shocking. We're in a complete economic crisis.
Yep.
We're in a mental health crisis. We're in a climate crisis. And people are living paycheck to paycheck. You know, student debt is shocking, credit card debt. And it was then that I thought there has to be a better way, because I saw that each one of us is worth $400 a year to Facebook. And so then it became really simple. If brands can pay people for their time, 2 minutes a day watching ads, then we can redirect $100 billion back to people and unite in support of the planet. So the big systemic problems, we saw real vulnerability in that, because whilst they seem bigger than and invincible, the average engagement rate on a digital ad is vulnerable. And the impact on society is really negative. You know, when you look at the hate on social, the negative impact on every level, people are more isolated than ever before. So really, even though I've built SMI, the last 6 years for me have been obsessed with how can we re-engineer social media in a way that is zero tolerance of hate and empowers people? How can we re-engineer the ad delivery, digital ad delivery, which we've now built, and how can we re-engineer digital media buying in a way that can redirect that $100 billion back to people and where we unite in a really positive, loving way in support of the planet? Big systemic stuff that, look, it was only version one, Kathy, you know, the whole Facebook, it was only version one. But I don't want to live in a world created by an 18-year-old guy with no life experience.
What you've done and the app that you've created and the platform and the community. I mean, We Are Eight is a profound, revolutionary idea around all of those touch points. And for people to be able to have ownership of that conversation with the brand and to have the ability to give back generously to causes that matter to them because they're actually consuming advertising is such an extraordinary notion.
Yeah.
And now you've opened in Australia, you're in the UK, you've made a dent in the US market.
No, I can't wait to launch back there. Kathy. I really can't wait.
I know. I mean, because I know this is where you sort of were originally sort of really had your roots, and you were testing with incredible brands. And what are the advertisers saying about this? I mean, clearly, you know, anything like this where you're really shifting the model, you know, it's a lot for an advertiser who's so conditioned to spend money in a certain way. And we see how long that traditionally takes. But you're having such profound impact. Mm. So are they starting to recognize the importance of what it means to them and how that will affect how they're connecting with consumers?
Yeah, I mean, look, the way that we've built it means that every dollar that they spend through the system is sustainable, it's carbon neutral. We over offset. They make positive impact with every dollar that they spend because 5% of the money goes to a charity of their choice, but 50% goes to the 8 citizen. 50% of all of their money goes directly through to people. And what's interesting about that, when we refined the product experience, when we were getting, you know, 10 times better click-through results, you know, that was good, but we had to keep pushing and refining the ad delivery in a way that doesn't just get 10 times or 20 times, but gets transformational business results. Because, look, they're not going to shift big dollars. They're under more pressure than ever to do the right thing and be sustainable and all of that. But at the end of the day, they're only going to shift really meaningful dollars if it's smashing all the other metrics. And the exciting things, whether it's Heineken, Tesco, all the big brands are now shifting really meaningful money. Nike just ran a massively successful campaign. Heineken came out with a quote saying, just after their third campaign, amazing, saying the results are absolutely transformational. And it's consistent. I think the thing is, look, when we tested the ad delivery, so, you know, deliver an ad directly to Kathy and engage her for 2 minutes a day and the money goes into your wallet and donations get made to charity. That really worked amazingly. What we didn't imagine is how much we would reinvent social and be under pressure to bring in all the social features. So everything that you're going to see coming out in the product is now also reimagined social, nice, where you download We Are 8, it's 8 minutes of inspiration where you're following the creators and people you love in a curated way. Then we want you to go and live, go and reinvent yourself, go and hug a tree, hug someone, love, live life, because 8 minutes of inspiration, then, you know, brilliant. And then we have a friends feed, which launches next month, which is default private. So having all those social features, we were under pressure when we started working with all the footballers who have experienced massive hate on social. And the reality is that the platforms just aren't doing anything about it. They want to keep us scrolling longer. They hide behind freedom of speech, but what they're actually fueling, Kathy, is hate speech. And so that's why we've now reinvented all this, brought in all the social features, because everyone was saying to us, creators, people, we're sick of the status quo. It's really
so
broken.
Let me ask you a question, because those who are listening to this, who have such an incredible community of entrepreneurs and CEOs and CMOs and young people who are trying to get inspired. There's so many fascinating guests that we've had from various communities and businesses and life coaches. And you went through a lot to build this company as a woman in tech, you know, another barrier, right? So for those who are out there that are really trying to take a vision, a dream, a piece of information like you had where you knew and understood there was something systematically wrong with the system and the way we are engaging with social, with the advertising environment. What was that challenge, that moment? What was that inflection point for you where you just felt like, you know, I have to do something about this? No matter what the risk, the reward is going to be greater, right? Was there fear of failure in this? Was there, you know, what's that feeling that you had to overcome to really take on this challenge?
My My biggest fear, Kathy, was that no one would do it, because we're at such a shocking point in the. I actually, there were many times when I thought, "Holy shit! I wish someone else would do this." But had I not had 35 years of experience in the media world, and my second company, we built TV shows and everything else, had I not understood that, I couldn't have engineered or re-engineered or reimagined a world of social with no hate that gets money into people's pockets and where we unite in support of the planet. Sounds really easy, really hard to do. And, you know, I think for women as well, I mean, what do we get? 2.6% of funding goes to female, VC funding goes to women. If it's a woman who wants to take on something really big, that's seemingly established and not vulnerable at all, that's just no chance. So I've been massively, I've failed monumentally at VC funding. I mean, in the middle, and thank goodness, hot off the press, I have sold SMI, but there was a moment where I had to put everything on the line and borrow $5 million at a shockingly high interest rate, because we've got 8 years, Kathy, until the damage that we've done to the planet is irreversible. And I knew what we built was transformational. And I actually thought, well, my kids are going to have really fucked lives, excuse me.
That's okay, you can say that on your podcast.
Can you not quote me on that? But my kids are going to, they're not going to have football pitches to play on. They're going to be, there's going to be more suicide than ever before, and we're going to be in a bad way. And as David Attenborough says, you know, we know the problems, we know the solutions, we just need collective action. So my fear wasn't failure, and actually my lack of fear of failure has enabled me to just be so driven and so resilient.
I am getting chills as you were saying this, Sue, because I think that is such a powerful statement about, A, what is necessary. So thank you for all that you've done to commit to what you're trying to do, but also for knowing and still forging ahead because of that risk that you are putting yourself, your family at, from a financial standpoint, from a business standpoint. And I'm so just thrilled and delighted. Look, I know I've watched for years as you've been building this company, and there is no question about the importance of it and the value to every company and the individuals that are surrounding you.
I mean, I think I feel I just also had faith in myself that I'd get it right. I have an amazing leadership team. So on one side, the buying engine that we've built is transformational for advertisers. The product for humans, the We Are 8 app, I just kept reinvesting to get it right. And I had faith that we'd get it right, but if not, I'd die trying. And not because you know, I want to be a billionaire and make my shareholders a lot of money, which, by the way, I do want to make my shareholders a lot of money, because they've been patient and amazing. But because if we don't come together, Kathy, really fast, and if we don't, and sadly, it had to be in a way that had self-interest for people. So if someone knows they can watch a couple of ads every day and automatically pay their mobile bills or their subscription, TV subscriptions, oh, my God, I'll watch a couple of ads a day. And while I'm here, donations automatically go to charity. We had to work with behavioral scientists to get, there has to be in it. Humans are such that there has to be something in it for me. And then what's going to happen over the next 6 months, we're going to see people feel amazing because they're going to be feel purposeful again. Because I don't know about you, but there's 2 billion people on Facebook, but we never act as a collective force. Yep. We're on 8. We can send a notification out to millions of people and we can have collective action. And that's exciting, because we're going to make it really fun.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, look, fun is, you know, definitely a big punctuation point there, because it really is fun what you've created and the way you're doing it and the way you're bringing creators into it. is so beautiful and so creative. And anybody can go on the app now, right? Anybody, anywhere can pretty much just download the app.
That's right.
So, you know, I want to encourage everybody to.
So anyone can.
Go ahead.
Thank you. And by the way, claim your name. Claim your name. So anyone can download the app, become an eight citizen, comment on things. From September, everyone will be able to upload content, zero tolerance of hate for comments, so you can feel really safe. If you get verified with a golden eight halo, you can then get promoted on the eighth stage and your content can be selected to be seen by the whole world. So the 8 minutes on eight is a central point that is going to unite us every day and make our basically 8 minutes of inspiration in the morning every day.
Amazing. Oh, my Kathy. Goodness. It's just divine. Sue, there's so much more I want to talk about. I know that we have to jump. You've got another meeting to go to at this late hour in London, but I have to respect that that is your schedule. So I am going to thank you wholeheartedly for being on here, my friend, for sharing with my audience what We Are Eight is up to and the nuggets of what you've had to push through to create this. And, you know, we're just so excited to see what's to come. I adore you. I know that you and I will be talking more. So I want to thank you for being my guest today. And for those who want to learn more, check out the show notes and certainly just continue to follow the Reinvention Exchange and all of the wonderful, inspired and motivational content that we have to share with you. And have an amazing day and happy reinventing, everybody. Thanks for listening to The Power of Reinvention. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Wouldn't mind a 5-star review. It would be greatly appreciated. Also, be sure to visit thereinventionexchange.com to share your reinvention stories, suggest a guest, join the newsletter mailing list, get access to my book, which is called Reinvent Your Life, What Are You Waiting For?, and discover fantastic bonus content with my blogs, and listen in to the Reinvention Virtual Chat series. Don't forget to join me next week for another episode. Please share with a friend. And thank you for listening. Happy reinventing.